Well, welcome here, Ford Alliance, our extended digital family. It is great to be with you this Sunday. It is Pentecost Sunday, and I don't know about all of you, but I know I have often in my journey of faith and leading mentioned Pentecost Sunday, but I've never actually taken a full Sunday to really focus on it, which I find as odd being where I'm at today in my faith, because I realize there's three pilgrimage feasts in the Jewish calendar that the people of Israel would move or go back to Jerusalem to celebrate these feasts. And interestingly enough, and this is not a coincidence, they all align with very significant events. They align with the birth of Christ, with the death and the resurrection of Christ, and then the coming of Holy Spirit. And it fascinated me because, you know, we take time every year to talk about the coming of Jesus and the birth of Christ. We take time every year to focus on the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. But how often we skip over the coming of Holy Spirit, and yet God came to earth to indwell, to fill his people. Holy Spirit had come, and we need to focus and consider that. And so we want to do that this very morning. Laura was just reading a passage for us where Jesus is just preparing to actually ascend into heaven. He's sitting with his disciples and talking with them. And it gets me thinking, I mean, what would it be like to have Jesus literally, physically sitting here? Like right now, Jesus is sitting here talking with us. And so I want to just start by asking you at home a question. Feel free to add a comment into the chat box there, but let's talk about it here too. What would you do or what would you say if Jesus was sitting here right now? What would you like to do to Jesus, or what would you like to say to Jesus if he was sitting here right now? I'd just love to hear a couple of thoughts from our group. Hug. Yeah, that's a good one. What was that? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Total awe. Yep. How about one more? Bow down. Sit near him. That is great. Those are great answers. As I was thinking about what if Jesus was sitting here right now, a passage in John came to me where Jesus says, it's better that I go, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come. And I don't want to lie, like I just want to be real honest. Like for the longest time in my faith journey, as I thought about that verse, I thought to myself, Jesus, are you sure? You know, like Jesus, it would be way better, I'm sure of it, just to like stay on the straight and narrow, if you were just sitting here with me right now, or even as like a leader in his body amongst his people, it'd be helpful, Jesus, if you were sitting here, you know, like that would be good. Like I honestly thought that. I thought, Jesus, are you sure? But in my journey, I had this turning point, and it wasn't that I don't or didn't want to sit close to and have any of those types of thoughts or experiences with Jesus. It really just became like, if Jesus said that, it's true. If he said, it's better that I go, then it's got to be true, because he has proven himself faithful and true to me again and again and again. And so I wanted to kind of press into that, because if Jesus says it's better, then it's better that he go, that the Holy Spirit would come. And interestingly enough, for me at least, one of the people in scriptures that I really relate to, and I bet you some in this room do too, is Peter. I really relate to Peter. And what I love about Pentecost Sunday is a little over a month before at the crucifixion of Jesus, there's Peter denying Christ three times. And all it takes is a little bit over a month. Holy Spirit comes And boom, as we're going to see in just a minute as we read from Acts chapter 2, now the guy who denies Jesus is standing in front of thousands preaching. Like, it's better that I go, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come. And Peter, for me, as one who I relate to and identify with, is such an incredible example of, yeah, okay, that's what I need. I need that type of power, that type of fire within me, if you will. And so I've been on this journey, as you guys all know, I'm in renewal, trying to understand Holy Spirit more, grow in my relationship, walk with Him and get to know Him. And even in that journey, there's things I still don't get and things I'm starting to get and things that I think I'm starting to lean into and understanding a bit. But the passage Laura just read is actually a perfect example. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2, it says that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus taught. Like, this is mind-boggling to me. I do not have this verse figured out. I'm just being honest. It's not something I totally get. Here is crucified, buried, resurrected King Jesus teaching through the Holy Spirit. I do not fully understand that verse, but it blows my mind that there's King Jesus still teaching through Holy Spirit. That is so cool to me and something I haven't wrapped my head fully around. Acts 1:8 comes and Jesus says to the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I think we all, as followers of Jesus, at least in this circle, as I know each of you, would say that's a power I want more of day by day. I want more of Holy Spirit power. And I've come to realize that that's the power I need to be the man God wants me to be, even the man that I long to be. But that said, there's been so much confusion, I think, around Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer, I think, articulates this really well. Something cool, I know A.W. Tozer is a pretty well-known author. He's actually an Alliance guy, too. I don't know if you know that, but that's pretty neat. A.W. Tozer is an Alliance, historically an Alliance guy. But he said this, Satan has opposed the doctrine of the Spirit-filled life about as bitterly as any other doctrine there is. He has confused it, opposed it, surrounded it with false notions and fears. He has blocked every effort of the Church of Christ to receive from the Father her divine blood-bought patrimony. The Church has tragically neglected this great liberating truth that there is now for the child of God, for us, right? The child of God, a full and a wonderful and a completely satisfying anointing with the Holy Ghost. That, as you all well know, has been my journey, for sure. And I've told you guys again and again that I've been on this journey of renewal about 10 years now, just striving to press in and grow and learn and know more of who Holy Spirit is, whom we remember and celebrate came today, right? And in the midst of this journey, I've had some great mentors, some great friends. I've had denominational events and cohorts I've been a part of. But I'm still at this point where I realize, like, there's more. Like, there's always more of Jesus. There's always more of Holy Spirit, and I want to press into that. And so recently, I joined this church renewal cohort where for 14 weeks, every week, there's a group of pastors. We get together to kind of press into this and to try and understand. It's a multi-denominational gathering, which I love as well. It's not just certain denominational leaders. It's just this mixture, this gathering of faith. And it's from all over the world, actually, that this cohort that I'm a part of am studying this with. And 2 weeks ago, this was the thought that kind of landed for me that I want to share with you. It was this, that God is not just a visitation God. God is not just a visitation God. He is a habitation God. This is really, really important. God is not just about that one-off, powerful visitation moment. And yet I know in my life, I've had some of those manifest moments where I know, like, yeah, God, He's here. I can sense it. I can feel it. There's something manifest going on. But He's not just a visitation God. He's a habitational God. He wants to do life with us. I love in John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The word being referenced to Jesus. Jesus became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But Eugene Peterson, in his translation of the Message, he writes it like this, and he, Jesus, moved into the neighborhood. That's good. Moved into the neighborhood. Jesus, God, is a habitational God. He wants to do life with us. Pentecost is the day that we remember, yeah, it's better that Jesus go so that the Holy Spirit can come. The third part of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is working out this reality that God is a habitational God. And through faith in Jesus, what he has done for us, the Holy Spirit, God, is in you. And in Pentecost, we celebrate, we recognize that happens. And so we're going to read through Acts chapter 2 and look at that story together. Man, what it must have been like to be there at the first Pentecost, right? Where the Holy Spirit comes. As I read that text, as I reflect on it, so many things to me just go, whoa, like what would have it been like to see that live, to like have actually been there and witnessed it. So as you read that text from Acts chapter 2, what stands out to you, or what is something that you wish you could have seen live? Love to hear what you guys think. Yeah, and those are such cool images all throughout Scripture, right? Like, yeah, wind and fire. The response of the crowd, that would have been incredible. As an ex-preacher too, right? Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, I love it. Peter just, it flows out of him, right? It's clear. He goes from that guy, as we've already established, who denies Christ, who's like now clearly articulating. And then I love that there's a little verse there then, and he preached much longer than that, right? Like this is just like the synopsis, the Reader's Digest version of what Peter had to say. All those things for me stand out as things that I would love to see. I think one of the things for me that I most though would like to love to see is on Pentecost Sunday, you see now, maybe I could even go so far as to say it's for the first time, God's people winning an epic battle without raising a sword or a club or by the use of force. God's people winning an epic battle here by simply his people being anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking a clear message. Like that is so cool to me that Jesus' people are now using a message, a word to advance the kingdom. I love that thought. I've been doing some reading and prep for next fall and into the new year already. And one of the books that I read was called The Kingdom of God and the Glory of the Church. And the author spoke this about Jesus. Jesus builds his kingdom not through a sword, but through a message. His words, like seeds, go into the earth and sprout the kingdom through people, transforming place. I love it. And now it's Jesus' people doing just that, right? Using a message to transform people and thus a place, right? I am fully convinced. And maybe you can say, oh, I'm also naive. Or maybe you can say that, oh, I'm just being overly optimistic. I don't even care. I am fully convinced that God's heart is still for his people today to experience filling of the Holy Spirit and to be sent out as ministers with a message for him. I'm so, so convinced of this. Bill Bright, who I would bet a couple of you in this room might recognize that name, I see some heads nodding. He was a very notable evangelist in the kind of like the mid 1900s-ish there. He's probably most famous for the four spiritual laws. I don't know if you've heard them here or at home, but nonetheless, I'm going to speak to that in just a moment too. He's super noted for that. And yet, I want to read a quote of his that I think is really significant today. I'm in light of this guy being an evangelist, kind of like that author of the four spiritual laws. He says this: "If I had to choose between sharing the gospel with a non-Christian or sharing the spirit-filled life with a believer, I'd choose the latter, because that would empower the believer to witness to many more non-Christians in the future." That's good. From a man who's an evangelist at heart, right? The spirit-filled believer. I mean, 2,000 years ago, yeah, but still for today, I'm convinced, on mission for Jesus. You know, it's ironic enough, having just mentioned Bill Bright and that quote, I think that for an era that I was a part of at least, the remnants of the four spiritual law mindset has really kept us from the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, before you freak out and are thinking, what's he talking about here? Give me a second, okay? The remnants of the four spiritual laws, I think it's fair to say, have kept us from the intended or the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I mean. I don't know about all of you, but at least for me, I heard countless messages where Jesus was presented as a get-out-of-jail-free card, and that's it. And I don't think for a second that was Bill Bright's intention. I just read a quote that makes it clear that wasn't his intention. But countless messages where Jesus was simply a get-out-of-hell-free card. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, the very passage we even talked about, right? Like, whoever believes in the name of Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, right? Like, we covered that even in there. But there is so much more to life with Jesus than just a get-out-of-jail-free card, or a get-out-of, I guess you could say jail, a get-out-of-hell-free card. There's so much more. Yeah, yes, Jesus saves us. And when we put our faith in him, that is our position now, where we can have the assurance of eternity, of heaven, all those things. But this is why week after week I say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. It's that acknowledgement of our sin, our addictive way, our evil ways. But then I always say, here, my life is yours. There's now this surrendering of our life, and we then press into this journey where we look to become more and more obedient. A life that's only possible with the filling of the Spirit. I probably haven't explained it as well as I could, so I'm going to actually read something for you. This is from a book called The Forgotten God by Francis Chan, someone who is far wiser than I. But he's kind of speaking to the same thought. It reads like this: when people give their lives to God in exchange for a ticket out of hell, there is often no turning or change of direction, which is the definition of repentance. If all you want is a little Jesus to spiritualize your life, a little extra God to keep you out of hell, you're missing out on the fullness of life you were created for. Not only this, but you don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Holy Spirit if you are merely seeking to live a semi-moral life and attend church regularly. You can find people of all sorts in many religions doing that quite nicely without him. You only need the Holy Spirit's guidance and help if you truly want to follow the way of Jesus Christ. You only need him if you desire to obey everything he commanded and to teach others to do the same. You only need the Holy Spirit if you have genuinely repented and believe. And you only need the Holy Spirit if you understand that you are called to share in Christ's suffering and death as well as his resurrection. If you truly believe that you have turned from the way you were headed and joined a different way of living, then you desperately need the Holy Spirit. You know you cannot live this way without the Spirit in you. We desperately need Holy Spirit if we're going to be that people, that gathering of Jesus people that are going to live on mission for him. We desperately need Holy Spirit if we want to press into the mission that Jesus has called us to be a part of. We are desperate need of the Holy Spirit if we really do want to obey everything he's commanded us to. The Holy Spirit is incredibly necessary for us as the believer. After all, Jesus said, it's better that I go, so if I don't, the Holy Spirit come. But now that the Holy Spirit has come, he is in you. And the great part of Jesus and Holy Spirit is there is always more of him to come to know. Always more. Our elders, we've been reading a book called The Empowerment Pivot, and I don't think it's a coincidence, although we didn't plan it this way. We literally just wrapped the book up this week, and we finished off on a chapter there also entitled The Habitational God. And within it, there was this thought, this prayer that came out, and it's this: because God is an infinite being whom you cannot exhaust, do you want more? And so just this very week, our elders just pressed in and together, we said, God, we know there's more. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come to fill us in fresh and in new ways. We invite you to come and to fill our church family, Fort Alliance, fresh and in new ways. We know there's more. We're asking for more. Our elders were praying that over our fellowship this week. And this morning, as we gather on Pentecost Sunday, I too want us just to join and say, Lord, we know there's more. Holy Spirit, we know there's more. Would you fill us fresh? Would you give us more? That we could be the people of Jesus, the people of the Jesus way on mission for you. So would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Holy Papa, oh, we love you. We thank you that you gave your son Jesus. Lord Jesus, our King, oh, we love you. Thank you that you offered yourself as a perfect sacrifice on that cross, that you were buried, that you resurrected, that you are alive and living today. Holy Spirit, thank you that you've come, that you're active, that you are powerful, that you are all-knowing, that you are ever-present, that you are with us, that you are in us. And we recognize there's always more. And so we would ask that you would come, that you would fill us, your church, the gathering of the people of the Jesus way here in Fort Saskatchewan and part of Fort Alliance with more. That we might be a people on mission for you, Jesus. We ask this in your name, Lord. Well, it was great to be with every one of you this morning. A couple real quick announcements before we go. First, if you would like to pray with someone, you can go to our website and go to the online gatherings tab, and it'll take you to a Zoom link that you can follow, and one of our staff will be there and would love to pray with you this morning if you would like that. And then Fort Alliance family, our brother and sister Pablo and Silvina on the other side of the world, our international workers, they are on the verge of being able to get a vehicle to serve them during their time here in Spain. The national office has approved this, and they are $2,600 short. That's $2,600, not a lot. And we just thought that in this next week, if you wanted to give to that, you mark your global advance giving to Pablo and Silvina, and we'll make sure it gets directed to their new to their car fund anyway. And anything that comes in above that, we'll make sure it goes to our global advanced fund so that for missionaries all across our country are funded within our denomination. And if for some reason that $2,600 doesn't come in, you guys have been so incredible, so faithful, so generous in your giving. We will make sure it gets topped off and that Pablo and Silvina get the vehicle that they need while they're serving in Spain. That's it for today. I hope every single one of you have an incredible rest of your long weekend. We love you. We've been praying for you all. God bless. Happy Pentecost Sunday.